prayer, and then we'll begin. Christy, if you would, brother, would you lead us, please?
Your will in these times, Lord, I ask and pray that you'd be with our world leaders as well in these times. Protect Israel, Lord, I pray for the situation in Afghanistan as well, Lord, that you would just see the safe evacuation, Lord, all those that need to get out. Lord, be with our missionaries, Lord, if there be any missionaries there, Christians in Afghanistan, I pray to protect them, especially as well, please. We love you and need you, we pray for those that are sick, Lord, touching you, and we thank you, Lord, for safe travels and hospital days in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Okay. Let's sing with hymn number 55, and we'll get the most important one out of the way first.
One that I like and the one that Pat likes.
Setting sun, let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. I love that song. All right, turn back then to 23 and we'll sing that. And we'll stand if you're able as we sing. There's power in the blood. Hymn number 23.
Would you be free from your burden? of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving glow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Amen. You may be seated. You good to read for us, Norman?
Amen. You come on ahead.
Tonight's reading is from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 54. Sing, O barren, thou that stood not bare, break forth into singing and cry aloud, that thou didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of my tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall be he called. The Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this as the waters of Noah, unto me, as I have sworn, and the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but thy kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of ages of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, all thy border of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for my sake. Behold, I have created the smith, and bloweth the coals in the fire, and bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen.
Made me mindful of a few of the Psalms there. We appreciate the Bible reading. It's about that time in the service where we open the floor for any prayer requests. So if you have any, now would be a good time to let us know. Yes, Steve?
Speaking of Afghanistan again, reading the news part of the Taliban. Not just been going houses to houses, grabbing out people. They've also been going to schools, dragging out girls and women teachers, and doing the obvious, brutalizing and killing.
Yep, women aren't allowed to be educated or to hold a job. So, yep, people in Afghanistan needs a lot of prayer, but I think President Biden needs taking out the bicycle sheds and giving a good slap for ordering the withdrawal of the military without considering. I think as well as that, there are a lot of citizens in foreign countries have been ordered to one particular airport, which the American Army, I think, is in charge of, but it's completely surrounded by Taliban roadblocks, so nobody can get through. So please do pray for the whole country and for those people that have been let down by their respective governments. It is a difficult thing to be in a foreign country and have nobody there to put your hand upon, to lean upon, or to speak to. So, yes, indeed. Any other prayer requests? Just one that I came across today. The article actually read that 60% of millennial, and I think that's people that are born in the 2000s, and upwards, Christians don't actually believe that Jesus was the Son of God, the sinless Son of God. This is 60% of millennial Christians. Yeah. So of the 1% or 2% of people that are saved, just over half of them don't believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. So it's crazy. But if you're reading the wrong Bible, that's what the wrong Bibles teach. And one verse in particular, or a couple of verses in particular in the NIV, talk in Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the King James says, if you're angry without a cause, then you're in danger of the sin of murder.
The NIV takes out the without a cause, so it says if you're angry, then you're guilty of the sin of murder. And of course the Lord was angry whenever he took the whip of small cords and turned over the money changers' temple or tables and chased them out of the temple. So all of a sudden Jesus is a sinner. And that's what, whether that has been overtly or covertly taught to a generation of young people, that is what they have learned. And they think that Jesus is just their good mate and he's going to let everything slide. But that is not the message of the Bible. It's not a popular message, but it is the message of the Bible that Jesus is not people's mate. He is their big brother, and a loving big brother. And he has a heavenly Father that loves judgment, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. So people need prayed for, but more than that, they need to hear the proper message. They need to hear the correct gospel, not this counterfeit version that keeps everybody happy in church, just living whatever way they like. And as you can tell, that message is very popular. People don't like to be corrected. People like to be told you're all right and God will let everything slide. That is not the case. So please do pray, and that's not just America. I would reckon that's pretty much everybody in general. And that's...
You just brought to mind a conversation I was having. And I brought up John 3:16. And there's one word in John 3:16 that the NIV does not have. That's begotten.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't got that word begotten, you cannot be adopted into the family of Christ.
That's because there's only one and only the one and only Son of God.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the problem.
The only Son of God, not the only one.
Yep.
Begotten is the most important word.
Yeah. That's the problem with false gospels and bad, corrupted versions of the Bible. It does affect people's lives. Anyway, please do pray for our young people and make sure that they not only get the verbal gospel from you in the King James Version, but they get an actual living example of the gospel in your life. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on? Anything in particular?
I've got a book testimony.
Yeah.
Again.
We'll be praying about that. Don't forget, Taylor's travelling. She'll still be in the air, won't she? Nope. Or is it 4 o'clock she actually departed? This morning.
Nine
this morning.
She got there.
Oh, she'll be well. She'll be landed. Well, please do pray for Taylor. And Taylor's dad lost a girlfriend there about a fortnight ago. So she'll be going home to a very subdued household, I am sure. Please do pray for the whole family at this time. And Christy too. They're only married a few months and already she's away for a fortnight. So pray for them. Pardon? Of Liverpool. These do go on to the internet, you know. Unless someone can shout out a time and minutes that I can go in and edit that out. That's why he said he's had enough. I said it'd be enough to turn anybody off football. Would that be about right?
Oh boy.
Right, anyway. Before we get silly.
Yes.
I want someone to remind me to I think Ling or Christy, I need you to sign this as a witness. This was the one piece of paper they were waiting on that they never actually sent me from the solicitors. And I was searching high and low for it and then eventually just had to pretend to be stupid and they sent me this brand spanking new document. So please do, someone remind me to get that all signed up and sent back to our solicitors. Lord willing, the work will be starting here next week on replacing bad walls and beams. We'd appreciate your prayers on that. And I can't think of anything else. Is that about it? Anybody else? It's a bit like an auctioneer here. When someone puts their hand up, immediately your eyes go to see if somebody else. That's grand. Let's pray and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the life and health and strength that you've given us, for the souls that are here, Lord, that you would honour them and us, Lord, to honour us as we honour you this evening with our attention, with our time, with our tithes, with our fellowship, with our praises, with our attentiveness, with the preaching and teaching of your word. I pray you, Lord, for Taylor as she travels, for Frank over in London, for Will. I pray you, Lord, for Esther, for Leonard, for all those that have been and gone, for those that have slipped and slid, Lord. And I pray if there would be a way to restore them to fellowship and to walking and talking with you, I pray you, Lord, that you would take the steps required. And Father, if it would be at all possible, that you could use us in doing that. I pray you, Lord, too, for Stephen's blood tests tomorrow, for the work that's going to be starting in the church. Lord, for all those that have aches and pains, and Lord, for the lovely weather. We just thank you for that. But Lord, you know what we need. I pray that you would supply that need. I pray you please, Lord, for souls to be saved. I pray you for those families that are grieving, Taylor's family, Mitchell family, Lord, and that family where the mom went just crazy and killed one of her kids. Father, for the folks in Plymouth that have been left behind after that shooting, Lord, we pray that your will would be done. Please save souls. Please edify the saints. Please, Lord, protect those that are reaching out in your name. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon the pastor that was arrested in Larne. And I pray you, Lord, for wrapping the knuckles on everybody that did, that had anything to do with making that happen. But Lord, we pray for the saints to be inspired and encouraged and comforted and strengthened, to be made wise and bold, Lord. And Father, other than that, Lord, you know our needs. Leave them at your feet and pray that you would grant them according to your will. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's take our big, thick, no, our wee skinny hymn books. Let's take our big, thick pastor and send him on 3 weeks holiday. Nope. Hymn number 15. We'll start with number 15. Hymn number 15 in the wee books. That's a nice one. That's a nice one. Just skip forward a page or two and we'll finish off this part of the service with number 29. Number 29, Precious Lord, take my hand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord.
Good picks, thank you for them. Some very comforting and thought-provoking songs. Amen. Right, we were speaking of Matthew chapter 5, and that's where we're at this evening. If you'd like to take and turn there, it's the chapter of Matthew that contains the Beatitudes. Amen. Let's just, we'll start with the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. It never hurts to hear God's promise to the saved. Amen. Amen. We're speaking on the subject of pass the salt from Matthew chapter 5. Pass the salt. And seeing the multitudes, he, that's Jesus, went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set in a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Amen. That is our Bible reading. I don't know if anyone can guess which verse we're taking as our text this evening. There you go. Verse number 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. That is our text this evening. Are you able to pray this evening, Steve? You go on ahead then, brother.
Listen, Father, we give thanks to you for this night to be set aside with you, Lord, where we can come into the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we give thanks to you, Lord, and thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Lord, through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, Lord, through his grace and mercy, Lord, we gain salvation. Lord, I give thanks to you as well, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that you've bestowed upon all those who come to know this day. Lord, that he would be there with us always, keeping us right when it goes wrong. Most of all, Lord, thank you for the King James Bible, your most precious people. I ask now for a blessing on each one of my brethren here in your presence, Lord. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be upon me, Lord, as you, as we hear the precious word. Bless him, Lord, and give the words to speak. Lord, that your blessing will just out. Either which way, Lord, we know that you will hear it because you love us. Lord, we ask, Lord, to if you will bless those who are not with us, Lord. I have special speak for Pastor Taylor, to the Lord, Christmas Lord. Lord, grant to Jordan's mercies, where she has worshipped in the Lord. Help us to be a comfort to a father. Lord, you are more than us. Lord, just be with her, to bury her down the Lord, and keep her safe. And Lord, just walk with her, if you look at us. And those who are with the Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, that they will just see her, the light in her, Lord, and that we will think of her eternities as well. And pray, Lord, that souls will be saved. Ask, Lord, for a blessing on the rest of us. Lord, that you lay healing touch upon her, Lord. Not just physically, but spiritually as well, Lord. Just lift her up, strengthen her, comfort her, Lord. Let her feel you in her, Lord, please. Let her know that you know her. As you have promised, you will do with all Lord, I hold you to the promise, not just for her, but Taylor's Lord, for all those who are with her. We're not with us, Lord, on the well and the state. Let them know, Lord, that you walk with them. As for all our brethren here and around the world, Father, most of all, Lord, let us not forget your people in Israel. Dear Jesus, Lord, please, Lord, if you will, bless your children mightily. Lift them up, help them to defeat their enemies as they come from all sides, as you did before. Let the world see that you are their children, they are your children, Lord, that you are their Father. May you still do business of miracles, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, I ask too, Lord, if you will, for those who have received tracts, and those who have received CDs and Bibles. Lord, that they would be thinking of these times now, especially in Afghanistan or wherever, we've heard your word, Lord, from Christians, Lord, the day to return to you for, you know, for help. Lord, guide us. The British soldiers and the American soldiers, Lord, as well. Lord, please help us be together. Lord, be with us, girls, and the women, teachers, and wherever, and the people that's lost and comes there. Through this Taliban, Lord. Lord, that you know them, and you know the wickedness that they do. Please, Lord, first stop them, not before. Lord, let souls get out of work, let souls get saved, please, Lord, please. Even under the Taliban as well, Lord. Now, Lord, I ask, Lord, now you just be with us through the rest of the service. Let us have a good time around your word. And bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, and the songs of praise we lift up to you. And all the prayers and petitions that have gone before. please God bless them all here. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. All right. A quick word or two before we get into our passing the salt. The Beatitudes, many people have taken them out of context for many, many years. Each one of them begins with, blessed are ye, and then it comes with a set of conditions. And a lot of people think that if they mourn, regardless of what they believe, that they will be blessed by God because they're mourning. A lot of people believe that just because they're persecuted, that they're blessed by God. The Jehovah's Witness would tend to believe that. They delight in being turned away at the door. A lot of people think that if people say bad things about them, that means you're earning, we'll call it karma because there's no other word for it, you're earning God's good graces when people treat you badly, and that will get you a step closer to heaven. And that understanding of this portion of the Word of God is wrong. It changes the grace of God as presented in the Bible into a feel good, do the best you can, works faith. That sets people out looking for difficult times and causing bother in the hope that them being on the receiving end of those difficult times will get them a step closer to the heaven. It talks about people being blessed, and that is talking about saved souls. That is talking about those that have trusted in God as their Savior. Back here, it was God as their Savior. Now it's Jesus Christ as your Savior, still God. And very, very quickly it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that means those that have realized they're spiritually bankrupt and need a Savior. And go to Jesus, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. It goes on to say that you're blessed if you're saved whenever you mourn. Because one way or the other, you will see the object of your grief again. You will see the person you loved again in heaven. Or you will have your tears wiped away in heaven. That regret, that pain will disappear. It goes on to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In other words, those souls that have trusted in Jesus Christ, they only have to go to Revelation chapter 20 and see where we actually do inherit the earth for 1,000 years. And then the new heavens and the new earth forevermore, after the final winding up of this one. And a little note and a little word of encouragement. If you as a Christian wish to know more about God, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says if you want to learn more about God, just ask him. It says, is it in James 1 or James 2, which says, let him that lacketh wisdom ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So if you want to know more about God, just pray and ask him. He will be more than happy to fill you in. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's talking about people that preach the gospel, whether it's in the pulpit, whether it's in the street, whether it's around the table, whether it's in a train, a car, a boat or a plane. Blessed is the person, the only person, that can tell people about the great saving power of God is a person that has experienced the great saving power of God. And when you tell someone about the saving power of God, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and they accept Christ as their Savior, you have become a peacemaker between that man and God. So, good for you. That's a wee pat in the back for doing what God asks you to do. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I don't know if you have experienced persecution or name calling, or if you've ever gotten a dig for telling folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have ever lost a business opportunity or money or your home. I know it probably hasn't happened in this country, but I know there are countries in the world where people are turfed out of their homes for a public admission of their faith in Jesus Christ.
But the only person that will be happy to do that or can smile and thank the Lord for doing that is someone whose home, real home, is actually in heaven. And will be happy sleeping under the stars or contented at least knowing that God is watching over them and keeping them. It also goes on to say, again in line with what we spoke earlier on, it can be a comfort to you. It may seem like a cold comfort to you, but a confirmation to you that you believe the right thing and that you're saying the right thing and doing the right thing when people start to pick at you, when people start to persecute you and give you a hard time because you speak, you walk and you talk for Jesus Christ. Some of these are promises, some of them are job descriptions, but all of them will tell you honestly that difficult times could be ahead, but keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Beatitudes. And bear in mind, they did the same to Jesus. They did the same to all of the prophets pretty much in the Bible. The Bible also records the Lord said to us, look, the servant is not above his master. If they did it to me, they're going to try and do it to you. The devil will try and tempt you. People will try and take a hand out of you, sometimes in the worst possible way. But you just keep your eyes on the Lord. So after we've had a wee look at that, we get to our text. And there's really like a handful of mini parables here where we are likened to salt and we're likened to candles. In the best possible way. It's not a... Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a description of what you actually are. It's not the same as a saved soul becoming a Christian. There is a difference. A Christian is someone that reminds people of Jesus. A saved soul, I have seen saved souls sitting in pubs drinking. They certainly don't remind me of a Christian. So, this is a description. This is what your nature should be, to be salt. Salt and light and life. That is the nature of the Bible believer, of the soul that loves the Lord and loves lost souls and cares enough and is constrained enough and empowered enough by the Holy Spirit to step out of his comfort zone, to climb out of his box or her box, and tell somebody about Jesus. We are to be the salt of the earth. It's not the Lord saying that you need to put more salt on your fish and chips. But it is the Lord saying that maybe we need to give ourselves a shake and get some of that out there into the world. You are the salt of the earth. It's not about making food taste better, but it's about making people's hearts and minds and lives better, starting with ourselves. Do you know the great victory to be had over yourself, first of all, when you dare to be a Daniel, when you dare to speak out for Jesus? That is the salt coming out of the shaker. That is the word of God. Not just for yourself, but for those around and about. And it affects people. If you've done any amount of food preparation, or if your memory stretches back maybe 60, 70, 80 years, and in my case, just about 50, I remember my granny's pantry, under the stairs, off the scullery. And I remember the hooks in the ceiling where there would have been a bit of bacon maybe hanging. And it was invariably salted. And the salt acted as a preservative. It didn't make food better. It stopped it from getting worse. And that's what the Word of God... That's what the Word of God... Well, we know the Word of God will make people better, but I want to talk about the keeping things from going worse. The Lord is telling us to get the gospel out there, and one of the things that actually ties in with our little news item earlier on were 60% of all of those young people that have gotten saved in the past 21 years, give or take, don't actually believe that Jesus is the sinless Son of God. So basically, they're not saved. They've been sold a false doctrine and they think they're okay. And they believe that Buddha and Allah are equally valid means of getting to heaven. And as somebody once said to me, sure, what's the difference? We all worship the same God. And I said to him, he was a Roman Catholic gentleman up by the hospital, I said then, well, why does your God make life so much more difficult for you than he does for me? You have to keep the sacraments, you have to turn up at Mass, you have to go to confession, you have to make sure you get your last rites, you have to go through, anyone can only ever go through 6 of the 7 sacraments, because if you take holy orders, you can't have the sacrament of marriage. And on and on and on and on, and you don't ever know if you've done enough to get to heaven or if you're going to spend hundreds of years in purgatory. Whereas I know, because I trusted in my Savior, that I am going to heaven, not because I'm worth it, but because the Bible tells me so. And I pray that gave him something to think about. But there's a reason for those young people being ignorant of God's word. And that is because the salt has not gotten out of the shaker. Christians have not been doing their job. More than that, moms and dads have not been doing their job in reading the Bible to their children. And more than that, moms and dads have not been setting good Christian examples to their children. And then they wonder why their children go off the rails, because children see us very honestly. And they will see things very clearly. And they will say things very clearly too. And they have none of these things that we have, you know, like manners and politeness. And they'll just lay it out there. And it shows in their lives what's going on in the home. And that's one of the reasons that so many young people, and in fact, so many people in society, have no idea about good and proper behavior. I remember a Christian man that sold his testimony for about £2 or £3. If I give you £3 and told you to go out there and start cursing and swearing at people, would you do it? I know of a Christian man that did that. He used to be a member of this church. For £3, he started cursing and swearing at somebody. And when God's people, in quotes, do things like that, they get a denial of the scriptures. You know what Jesus said? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. And that person shouldn't expect God to answer any of their prayers. If you deny the Lord in word or deed in this here world, don't expect your prayers to be answered in heaven. I'm not saying God's a machine, but there is a certain amount of quid pro quo. If you don't honor God here on this earth, do not expect to be provisioned by God Almighty. Anyway, there's not enough salt out there in the world. And Jesus said, Christians, the salt are the teachings, the doctrines, and the commandments of God, backed up by the actions of believers, that's you and me, so that they don't just hear about it, but they actually see it. And they may even try and replicate those actions and see if things work better for them. Maybe even getting a little taste of that peace that passeth all understanding and thinking, do you know what? I heard a lady say, do you know what? I really enjoy coming to church. I feel so much better when I'm sitting in church. My aches and pains disappear whenever I'm singing the songs. Why would you not make a commitment to having that all the time? Why would you not want to walk hand in hand with the Savior all the time? Because there's not enough salt getting out there. The Lord tells all the people that listened, your spiritual salt. It'll preserve you, and it'll preserve those around you if you can spread it around. Now, does anyone remember sitting down with Brother Billy in McDonald's? As Brother Billy put the salt on his already salted hash brown and inside his double sausage bap, whatever it was, McMuffin. And invariably, Christy and me and Steve, there'd be some comment passed. It quite literally looked like it snowed on his food. It wasn't just a wee sprinkle, there was a lot of salt. And we used to joke that Billy would be perfectly preserved for thousands of years to come. He'd be like a side of beef, preserved in salt. There's a bunch of things that have been used for preservatives down through the years. Salt, sugar, honey, cooling things, heating them, taking all the air out of them. There's a bunch of stuff. I want to give you, the title is obviously Pass the Salt. I have a slash sauce. And everybody has their own favourite condiment. Somebody will like a bit of vinegar. Somebody will like red sauce. Somebody else will like brown sauce, HP sauce, barbecue sauce, steak sauce, salad cream, mayonnaise, chili sauce, Thousand Island sauce. There's a multitude. And I'm sure I would probably only get maybe one shelf in Tesco's. There's probably three or four other shelves full of different sauces. And there's enough to suit every palate. So in light of those, salt doesn't seem like very much. But if you ever spread just a little bit in the food, what is it that makes the food taste so much better? Even, has anyone ever been to the dentist and you've had work done and you can't brush your teeth for a few days and the dentist says, warm, salty water. Use warm, salty water. And that will keep the bits and pieces from gathering up in your mouth, and more than that, it'll rinse stuff away and it'll stop any bacteria from growing. It doesn't take very much, but it still needs to be a bit salt. Now, it's great, or it would be great if there was a little container of biblical goodness, like, you know, the wee salt cellars. I actually should have had one from the... Everybody knows what a salt cellar looks like. 2.5 to 3 inches tall, holds maybe an ounce of salt. And whenever you want some, most times it's sat in the middle of the table, you get it and you shake it on your food and you set it back down again. Wouldn't it be great if we could just carry a little container of biblical goodness about with us, like we can use a salt cellar? Well, the truth of the matter is, but that's exactly what your heart and mind's for. It's for filling up with the gospel, with God's commandments, with his doctrines, with his promises, with his prophecies, and sprinkling them liberally throughout your life as you go around day by day. Now, you might end up with a mouth injury, and you might end up having to gargle some of that warm, salty water, but the whole idea is that it gets out there. And that it gets spread around. And you would be surprised at how much more readily you remember what God says and how much more precious what God says becomes to you the more that you share it around, the more that you speak it with your lips and the more that you think upon it. It's a strange thing. But that's our job. We are to be salt and light. We are to go around telling people about all of the things that the Bible says. Now that does not mean as soon as somebody says, well, what do you think, Mark? You get up and you say, in the beginning, and 15 hours later, and any man that adds anything to this book, to him will be added the plagues that are in this book. That's the last verse or two out of Revelation. That's not what it means. No one, when they sit down, except Brother Billy in his day, would ever take the whole salt cellar and tip it onto their food. You take a wee sprinkle. It's just a wee taste. And that means a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit over here. And by, the food will taste better. And by, life will be better. What a lot of people don't realize, I think it was a way back, was it? I can't recall the exact reference, but it talked in the Old Testament of there being a famine in the land. It wasn't of bread or water, it was of hearing of the word of God. And that's what people need. Like a dying man just wanting a glass of water. People are quite literally walking around well fed, well watered, but dying spiritually inside, and they are literally waiting to hear what you have to say. So you need to get it out there and sprinkle a little bit about. Not everyone has to be a sermon like I hope we're hearing this evening. But you should be prepared to shake that salt cellar, even if it means giving yourself a shake. If you think about it, the commandments, when people were aware of the commandments, people tended to live better together. You don't even have to be a Christian to take advantage of the commandments. Just observe them and get on better with your neighbors. When we hear of the prophecies that God has recorded in his word, we're reminded of what is to come. I was going to say, and we're encouraged when we see these things happening right in front of our faces. And we are warned to behave ourselves accordingly, like it says in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, if all these things are to be burned up, what sort of person should we be? We shouldn't be the sort of person that puts our faith in things and stuff. We should have our faith in the Lord. Whenever we hear of God's promises, remember the promises that the Lord used to make to the children of Israel? If you do this, if you honor me, if you obey me, I will bless you. I will make you unbeatable. Those are the sorts of promises, the things that whenever we obey God, there are benefits to be had straight away. When we experience these things, they encourage you. They warn you. And maybe, you know, sometimes if you're up to a bit of devilment, it may even bother your conscience and chasten you a wee bit. But those are there for us for every single day. And the comforts and the assurances that God has in the scriptures, when people see you taking advantage of God's promises, and I mean that in the proper way, they will see that what God has to say and to offer makes up for so much of what the world, the flesh and the devil would want to take from you, and so much of what of the things in the world that you maybe have to let go as you pursue God's will in your life. And they're all there for any soul that would be saved. Now, I don't know if you ever, it's normally the greasy spoons, isn't it? The wee cafes that have the salt cellar, and the swanky places, they would have the tall stainless or silver salt cellars. The one thing that you never see is at the end of every evening or at the beginning of every day is that when those salt cellars and pepper pots and whatever else have been in use all the time, what happens? They get empty. And so what do you and I never see? If you've ever worked in a cafe, you've done it. You go round and you screw the lid off and you check inside and you fill it up with salt or you fill it up with pepper or you put more red sauce in it. You know what I'm talking about. And there is, for the Christian that loves the Lord, a very real danger of that happening to you. I think they call it burnout. Whenever you always seem to be on output, and you never take time. Do you recall to mind what the Lord did for the apostles? He said they were so busy ministering and helping other people, they didn't even have time to sit down and eat. And so what did the Lord do? He brought them with himself into a desert place to rest a while. And that's what this is. It certainly feels hot enough to be a desert today. But it's a place apart from all the hustle and bustle. I was going to say from phones going off, but I can't say that this service, because someone obviously is looking for me on a Wednesday evening. They don't know me. But there are times whenever we need to come apart and get a recharge. And that doesn't even, you don't even have to be, wait until you get to church, jump out of your car, you sprint to the front door and you get in and you fall on your hands and knees and you say, thank you Lord, I'm here. Hook me up to the mains and give me a quick jump. No, it's not that. It's the fellowshipping. It's the singing. It's the knowing that it's not like other churches. You're allowed to speak. And we know Steve takes full advantage of that. No. You're allowed to do something. You're allowed to. You're allowed to help. And you don't even have to wait in here. You can go out into the streets. I don't know if anyone was here and the number of times we used to give people lifts home of a Sunday. And I haven't been out up at the Crescent Link. As you can tell, it's on my mind a little bit. I used to drive past the Crescent Link and think, look at those hundreds of cars. It's like churches used to be in the old days. The place would be black with cars. And you didn't have to think, I wonder are they going into Curry's, or I wonder are they going into Homebase? You never had to ask that question. You knew they were a church. And I used to say, there's the biggest church in the Waterside. Look at all of those cars. Look at all of those people gathered in one place to do one thing. To buy and sell. And I used to say, week in, week out, there's the biggest church in Derry. It went from the Waterside to the whole of Derry. And then there was one week I was driving past, that sometimes it takes me a while. Week after week after week of saying, there's the biggest church. And then I said, you know what they need? They need a preacher. And it all suddenly clicked into place. In the space that's in between my ears. I've got megaphones. Why don't we just take the megaphone and stand in the corner of a car park and start preaching? And so I did. You don't have to do what all of the other people would want for you to do that have a little box. This is all you're allowed to do if you're a Christian. Christianity affects your whole life. Pat and Steve and myself, we were reading. It was in John 9 that I was reading. I'm sorry, but that's the bit that I remember. It was a little bit about the woman taking the measure of leaven and working it into three other bits of dough. And eventually it worked its way through all of the dough and it was let sit, and then it was able to affect all of the dough. That's what the scriptures are all about. If we make a point of working it into our lives, it will affect in a good way, in a holy way, in a way that pleases God, every single part of our lives. Whether it's a wee bit of prayer, just at your wit's end, or you're just thanking the Lord and you open your eyes in the morning and say, wow, that's a surprise, thank you Lord for another day. Or, Lord, I've really got a worry. Or whether you've been saying, Lord, I know I've been asking you about that particular question. It still doesn't make sense to me, Lord. So I'm going to read another chapter of the Bible and would you just help me to understand it? He's not going to say no. That'll be a help to someone as well as yourself. Or whether it's listening to preaching, or whether it's doing the preaching, whether it's just standing and closing your eyes and singing those old songs and just thanking the Lord that you're able to lift up your voice and praise Him. Or whether you're loading up your magazine of your mind with verses of scripture by taking some time to study and memorize them. All of these things fire you back up. They prepare you to go back out into the world and to meet all the nonsense and drivel and persecution and stupidity and rank paganism that there is outside of these doors. that you have to deal with every day, maybe until you get to your own front door. And in some cases, people have to deal with that inside their front doors too, but the Lord is there to fill you back up again. If we are the salt of the earth, if we are the little grains of salt that are spread on various things, parts of our lives to make them better for us, and to give other people, lost souls, an example of what life can be like, what's God? What did the Lord call Peter? He called him Cephas, the stone. He said, upon this rock, pointing at himself, a huge, big lump of stone, he said, I will build my church. The Lord is a huge, big lump of rock, salt, that we can grind a little bit off to fill ourselves back up again. And it is so big and so huge, and there is so much that should we turn up 5 times a day every day for 100 years, we will not make him any less, but he will make us much, much more. I got to thinking about the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I love these verses. It's verse 11. And it talks about that great rock that God is. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And that's the rock we need to go to. The Bible says too, sadly, and I know we're coming to it at the end of the message, if the salt has lost its flavour, what use is it? A number of places said that, and a couple of other gospels said, it's fit for nothing but to be thrown onto the dunghill. And that is pretty much a description of uselessness. So I pray you, if God says to you, give someone a tract, or speak to them, or tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, even what he's done in you don't have to, know about Moses and Noah and Jonah and Jephthah and Gideon and Samson and Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel and I'm run out of names now. You don't have to know about all of those. You just have to know what God did for you. And if God ever puts that on your heart, you make sure and tell that to somebody. You make sure and get that salt out of the shaker. Good for them. Good for your family. And good for you. When someone says, pass the salt. Pass the salt. Amen. And in a little nod and a wink to Steve.
Yes.
I have noodles for you. I wasn't going to talk the whole service and not bring noodles. I'm saving doctors. No, they're not. And I'll tell you where they're from. They're a freebie from Lidl's. And they're safe because there's 2 packets in them. I had one this morning and I thought Steve would love to try those. So I kept the other packet for you, so there'd be no complaints on the way home about the pastor talking about food and making me hungry. So that's for you. Amen. Right, let's sing a song and then we will be dismissed. I think we're on 143, was it, or 145? 145. Let's stand as we sing, it is well with my soul.
When sorrows like sea billows
Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul.
Don't forget our prayer requests, especially Taylor over the next couple of weeks as she travels until she gets safely back. And don't forget her then either. Don't forget each other. And there's a lot going on and plenty to pray about. Well, Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting for us, if you would, brother?
Lord, we are thankful for this time around your work, Lord. There are people in your house, Lord, we're thankful that we're still having this plan, Lord, to congregate and worship you freely. The message, Lord, I pray that hearts are encouraged, strengthened, Lord, and challenged, Lord, to spread the soul a bit more, Lord, not that a Christian that should say around this world. Guide us, Lord, help us accomplish your will in our lives, and Lord, help us reach those who are around about us as well. Use us, Lord, please, to see us all saved this week. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. And thank you again. God bless you, Lynn. And thank you. I hope.